Let's bow our head as we pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, open our eyes and our minds that we may be recipient of the working power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. October 2011, there was a general conference council meeting in Silver Spring, Maryland. Because every October they gather together, but this special meeting, they come to a document that they call it God's gift, promise gift. And they come to understand that the action is to live and to proclaim his lasting message of love and truth. For we believe we are what? The remnant church of this world. But then there is great challenge in how to reach the 7 billion people in the world. And he said, it seems impossible for us to do that. Imagine out of 231 countries of the United Nations, we have a Seventh-day Adventist churches in 215 countries. So we're still working it out. So for them, it seems so impossible for us to do that because as we do our baptism, you know, we have more than 1,000 baptism every day. But we are still what? Very small percentage. Here in North America, you have 0.1%. You notice that one of Adventists? In the whole wide world, compared to 7 billion, we have only 21 million. Wow, so it's impossible. The task is overwhelming. They come to the study of the church growth study, even the archive. They come to understand the church would be impossible to do what God wants us to do, to preach to all the world. Does it mean to say we may be getting older and older? Probably even the youngest member like Isaac, who is 3 years old, will be great-grandfather. Still, the mission is not accomplished? What does it tell us? If we cannot do that, what do we need to do? Because they come to understand that in their study, unless there is a what? A dramatic change, we will not complete heaven's assignment in this generation. We are saying, preach the gospel to all the world. And in Matthew 24:14, he said, and this gospel to all the world, and then the end shall come. But how could we do that? It seems to be impossible. So it was made to understand, unless there is a dramatic change, we will not complete heaven's assignment in this generation. You want to go home? We've been talking about the appearing. We learn from the appearing what? The political world, the religious world, the natural world had been not fulfilled all the signs. And we learn also the five absolute of what? Christ's soon coming, that he's visible, it's audible, it's glorious one. It will be all over the world. But what we are looking is the final time. So that's the general action. Now, there was a young underwriter working in his office as an underwriter agent, insurance agent. And he received a call. And the other line said, Mr. Jones, I want to increase my insurance premium. And said, yes, ma'am, we'll be glad to come over to our office tomorrow. Oh, no, I cannot come. But can you not increase my health, my home insurance? Mom, I'm willing to help you. Just come over tomorrow. Mr. Jones, you don't understand. I need to do it now. Well, I could do that if you could come and sign the paper. But Mr. Jones said, I cannot do it because my house is on fire. Those are one of those absolute vital things that we need to understand. Brothers and sisters, we've been saying and singing, Jesus is coming again. Leap up the trumpet and loud let it ring. And this is one of the things that we cannot delay because we know it's coming and it's coming. In Review and Herald magazine, August 1890, more than 100 years ago, here comes a statement from our prophet Ellen White said, I am often referred to the parable of what? Of the 10 virgins who have been and will be fulfilled to the very letter. And we learned that from the Gospel of Matthew. And we know the Gospel of Matthew, verses chapter 24, talks about the signs of his coming. And as we study during the appearing time, the religious world, the political world, the natural world, all the signs have been fulfilled. We're looking only on Matthew 24:14. And this gospel to all the world shall be preached. And when? The end shall come. But Matthew 25 talks about what's going on inside his church. Well, the world talks about everything that his coming preparation is fulfilled. So what's going on inside the church? What's going on outside the world? We have no control. While we are here, probably we may hear pops in your cell phone, the news from CNN or any other Canadian news, that they may have natural calamities oftentimes in other opposite side of the world. We have no control over those things. If there's an earthquake, hurricane, calamity, fire, we have no control over those things. It will happen whether we like it or not. Because what Jesus said, those are the times when he is coming. But don't worry about it, because he's concerned about what's going on inside his church. Chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew. I'm hoping you to look into that one. So Matthew 24:44 tells us, watch therefore. Watch therefore. For we don't know the hour of his coming. But we know he's coming very soon. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, you'll find a lot of symbolism. And in 25 as well. And we talk about symbolism about kingdom, referring to his church. Talking about symbolism about 10. Why it was called 10? Because 10 is the smallest number of men that comprised the synagogue during his days of Jesus. And when we talk about the Lamb, meaning to say it's the word of the Lamb, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Where we could find it in Psalms 119:105. And we learn also that the in Matthew chapter 25 talks about the virgins. Has something to do with the members of his church. They're all virgins. But you'll find out in chapter 25, the contrast has nothing to do with righteous and unrighteous people. It's nothing to do with holy and unholy members of the church. It's nothing to do with obedient and disobedient or royal and rebellious. It has nothing to do with faithful and unfaithful members of the church. Rather, what? Talking about the wise and the foolish member of the church. They're all Adventists. Why? Because they are all waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And if you look on the chapter 25 of Gospel of Matthew, there's no difference between the two. Why? They go to church on Sabbath, every Sabbath. They study their Sabbath school lesson. They return their tithe. They are faithful members of the church. But what's the big question? What's the difference between the wise virgin and the foolish virgin? That has something to do with mental quotient or IQ. It's nothing to do with that. The big question, brothers and sisters, is foolish were asleep. You look on the Bible, chapter 25. What about the wise? Are they asleep? No, they are. Are they awake? No. Both of them, what? They're all sleeping. The virgins, as the Bible tells us on Matthew 25, while they're waiting for Jesus' soon coming, they were all sleeping. So there's no difference between the wise and the foolish virgin. But why they were all sleeping? This was a picture. Join with me reading. Shall we read? The entire church is pictured as spiritual drowsy, asleep to the great opportunities to prepare the world for the coming of the bridegroom. We know he is coming. We're singing that song, lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. But you may say, well, I was a little boy when I started singing that song, and my great-great-great-grandfather been singing that song. But where is he? You know why we're all sleeping? Your Bible Second Book by Pastor Mark Minley says, we are all sleeping because of what? the secular and materialistic godless culture around us lulls us into spiritual stupor. Our attention was not focused on His coming. Attention is focusing on this world. A lot of things going on in this world. Our focus, first time in the morning, what the very first thing in our mind? Are we thinking He's coming at the end of the day or the following day? No. We may say, well, today is October 27, 2018. Probably 2019 He will come. So we could have another year. But we learn from the study of the appearing, He will come when no one was expecting His coming very soon. So I want you to understand the study of the parable where Jesus said, the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. As I said, even the spirit of prophecy tells us, they're all together going to church. You cannot say, this group of people attending this church is belong to the foolish and the wise virgin. No, nobody could tell us. It's only God who knows. So they are all sleeping because their attention focused not on what is coming, but they are focused on secular, materialistic, godless culture that goes around our community. Not outside the church, but inside the church too. As we learn from the study of Matthew, there are a lot of symbolism of oil. Because we learn the virgin, foolish and wise, the only difference they had is the oil. They have oil with them, but when they heard the bridegroom is here, they found out the foolish virgin are lacking oil. And oil symbolized total and complete consecration. In other words, they're going to church, but are half-hearted consecrated. They're not fully consecrated. The oil symbolizes healing. When we talk about healing, we're always thinking about spiritual, physical healing. But what is God concerned, even the Old and New Testament, when someone is healed, is not only the physical healing, but the totality of man, the spiritual and the physical healing is accomplished, the oil. And illumination and witnessing is another symbol of oil. So the foolish and the wise virgin, the only difference they had is someone had more emphasis on the spirit of the life of witnessing and sharing. Let me share to you from the Spirit of Prophecy, Gospel Workers 274, that describes us what is this that tells us about the foolish virgin. The foolish virgin said needed experience much higher, deeper, broader than any had yet been taught. And they taught foolish virgins, they are part of superficial conservative class. Because they depend on experience with God in the past, not in the present. Well, I've been an Adventist for many years. I'm probably in the third generation Adventist, or I don't know how many generation. But for God, it doesn't matter what's in the past. He's concerned about your present relationship. We're studying our lesson this morning about unity. Talks about not what happened in the many years ago. It's what's happening right now, your relationship with God. Because the foolish virgin, I used to be a very active member of the church many years ago. But what God is concerned is what's going on right now. He's concerned about your relationship within the present time, not the past year or the other year. And I could say, well, I've been an officer of the church. I've been a pastor. What is important? Remember we study about Paul? Remember in the study of the book of Acts? When he said in Philippians, who among you have confidence in the plus? And he started enumerating. When he said, I have more. If anyone of you have confidence in the plus, he said, I have more. Why? I born as a Hebrew of Hebrew, belong to the tribe of Benjamin. What else? Circumcised on the eighth day. Compared to the, as far as law is concerned, I am what? A Pharisee, meaning perfect. But when he said, all those are what? Rubbish, not essential. What is important is our relationship with God. Because in Philippians he said, I would rather know him. Those things are what? Non-essential with my salvation. What is important is our relationship with our present relationship with Him. Continuing Christ's subject lesson tells us, the class represented of the foolish virgins, they are not hypocrites. They have regard for the truth. They have advocated the truth. They attracted to those who believe the truth, but they have not yielded themselves to the working power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we know the 28 fundamental beliefs of Seventh-day Adventist Church. Does it matter? Remember John 5:39? If you look on the scripture, when Jesus was talking to the Jews and the Pharisees, what did he say? You are searching the scriptures because you think you have eternal life. They thought when you know the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, that's the scripture that he said, they believe they have eternal life. But what Jesus said, verse 40, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. In other words, what's the point of knowing my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but I don't believe in Jesus Christ and fully commit myself to him? Jesus will say, you may know the scriptures, but if you don't refuse to, but you refuse to come to me that you may have life, still non-essential. Then as we continue from the spirit of prophecy, the foolish virgin, they have not fallen upon the rock, Christ Jesus, but they permitted their old sinful nature to be broken up. The class represented by the foolish virgin have been content with their superficial work. I'm okay. I go to church on Sabbath, after all. My name is in the list. You could check with our church clerk. Still active. But they do not know God. God is so much concerned about your relationship with him. Not every 7 day of the week, but for 7 days of the week. Don't get wrong with our name. 7 day does not mean we are only Christian on the seventh day, but means God wants us to enjoy the relationship from day to day. Because what is more important is how is my life every day. And the foolish virgin, they thought they're ready. They're waiting for what? The coming of the groom. Same as with us. We are all Adventists. We are saying, leap up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. And we are proclaiming, said, revival of true godliness is what we need. Sometimes we expect revival of what's going on inside the church. But revival, brothers and sisters, will start in me. Start in us. And if you look on Acts chapter 2, when they received the day of Pentecost, where were they? They are in the prayer fellowship meeting. We want to receive the Holy Spirit. But if we have some other more important thing than these things, how can you and I be recipient of the Holy Spirit? As we continue, they have not studied his character. They knew a lot of things about God. But what is important is for us to know God. There's a difference between knowing about God, knowing him. They not held communion with him. Therefore, they do not know how to trust, how to look and live. Their service to God is what degenerates into a form. Formalism, brothers and sisters, will not bring us to a higher level of relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus had seen that one when he was here, right? And look on Ezekiel chapter 33-31. Take note of the verse when God said, they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words. But with their mouth, they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. This is a word from God. He knows his people, but their hearts are not with him. So when we talk about Jesus coming again, we quote this verse. Take note, 2 Timothy and Apostle Paul make it clear. And we have since said, this is what's going on in the last days. For in the last days, perilous time shall come. For men will what? Lovers of pleasures and lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures and lovers of God. And we always quote that. And you see the world around us, the community. Take note of the city. There are more people are going. But I want you to understand, for us, for our Adventists believing that he is coming very soon, they said they have a form of what? Godliness, but denying its power. Brothers and sisters, my privilege to share to you, this message. I've been sharing this not only in Bay Robert. I share this also in CBS. I share it also with our church in Orlando, wherever I go, because I believe this is the message of the hour for us. We have been saying the appearing is coming. But I could not just close my eyes and say, well, I could preach other things than that, but God impressed me to share to you. Remember, I told you I was here for the third month, and someone told me, you're crazy. And she said, you're from Florida? You're here in Newfoundland? I didn't say, I'm not crazy, because I believe Luke chapter 10, verse 2. The harvest is truly great. The laborers are few. And I've learned from that scripture, pray for the Lord of the harvest. Not pray, beg for the Lord of the harvest that he will throw you out. He will not send. He will throw you out. The ekbalo is throw you out. So when I was asked by the Hope Channel president, Dr. Derek, he said, you know, the Lord threw me out in Newfoundland. And I was asked with Pastor Mark Milley, so you are now in a lovely historic Newfoundland while he was evangelizing in Brazil. God will throw you out if you want to use you. Brother and sister, we are not here just to take time. After that, we have a wonderful fellowship once. No, the main intention is why we are here. The foolish virgins, what? They have word in your hand to defend the truth, having the word in your heart to live the truth. In other words, we may know this truth, but what God wants is for us to live the truth. It's not the intellectual, theological knowledge that will save us, but the experiential truth that we live with God day by day. They were informed, but not transformed. The Word of God is not only for information, brothers and sisters. This book is not for telling us what God's plan, but rather he has the power to transform us if he wants to be transformed. So the foolish virgins, they were instructed by the Word, but they changed by the Word. They know that you need to do this. But you need an experiential that the world will change us. Remember that first Sabbath I was here? We learned about the Lord of the worship. Lord of worship is what? He's looking for true worshiper. The true worship is what? Reverence, filled with joy and spirit, of thanks and joyful. The next part I said to you, true worship is what? It's a life-changing experience. But if I've been attending here Sabbath after Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and my life have not been changed, I would say, check it out. Am I a true worshiper of God? Because God wants us to change our life according to his likeness. They were convicted of the truth, but not changed through the truth. And that's what the situation of these foolish virgins. They know the truth, but they were not changed by the truth. Because doctrinal correctness cannot save us. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. We are not saved by what? Through theological knowledge. There are a lot of theologians here. And somehow they are diverting people to the other truth. So the question for us is this. Has the truth that we believe and the Christ that we proclaim to others radically transform our lives? In other words, I know that Jesus loves me. We are teaching the kids, Jesus loved the little children all the world. I like that one because he said, all are precious in his eyes. Maybe brown and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his eyes. That sticking in my mind. So when the first time I was assigned at U.S. Clark Air Base, in a military base, I was dealing with different colors. Then I was assigned in Quebec. I didn't know there's a lot of people from the islands who taught me Yemen, and I deal with them too. And then I also assigned in Virginia, in Florida. You see different kinds of people from Russia. But what is so important is for us to understand that Jesus loved us so much. And you know what? One thing I discovered. When I was a chaplain in a hospice, you may be beautiful outside, but when The funeral director will pick you up. Everything is almost the same. Because one time, it said, we had a patient. I think he's one of the vice president of Disney World. But when their sister died, doesn't matter. In other words, what is important to God is our relationship. Our physical beauty might change. Don't care. Because in a twinkling of an eye, remember? How long is the twinkling of an eye, brother and sister? Tell me. In the twinkling of an eye, the last term, our body will be changed. So if I have problem, whatever problem physically I have, I don't have to worry about that. Because in the twinkling of an eye, God will change that. But our character needs to be ready. So has the truth transformed our lives? I'm speaking to you in a heart-to-heart as your pastor. Because I do believe we are here not for entertainment. We are not here just to see the program of the church. No, we want to experience the presence of God. Because after this, we would like to experience that how you and I be ready for His coming. For we know that oil represents what? Sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit. You and I needs that in the day to day. It transforms the character. It enables us to be the light. And it helps us to prepare the way for the coming of the bridegroom. So if we are saying we are an Adventist waiting for the soon coming of our loving Savior, we need the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Don't feel sad if I say, where are you during this time that you want to ask the Holy Spirit to live in our lives? Brother and sister, this morning the good news is what? There is an abundant supply of heaven's oil. In other words, our Heavenly Father is waiting upon us to wait for the Holy Spirit to empower us. Holy Spirit, fill us, mold us, break us, melt us. And He's willing to give us if He will ask. We are studying this earlier morning. The Lord predestined us to be saved. We do believe in that. We're so thankful that God wants us, all of us, to be saved. But if we don't like to be saved, God will not force us. What a kind of loving God we serve. And an awesome God. Because He loves us so much, He's providing the oil, the power from above, that you and I could be changed according to His likeness. There is no shortage of power to give us victories, brothers and sisters. All of us have some struggle in our Christian life. Whatever it is you and God who knows it. And it's not my business as a pastor to know about it. Because our important thing is for us to develop our relationship with Him in the day to day. Matthew 25, verse 5. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Remember the picture of the church? They're all sleeping because there are a lot of things that focus our attention. Now the question, why it was delayed? From the study of the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, there are three reasons why it was delayed. First, Christ waits in love. He wants, as we learned this morning, He wants all His people to be saved. But how could God could save those people who doesn't like to be saved? By giving the gospel to the world, it is empowered to hasten the Lord's return. But we are not to look for, but not to hasten the coming of the Lord of God. Had the Lord ordained, the Lord Jesus would come to our earth in power and glory. He wants His people. We are now more than 7 billion people in the world. Nothing is too hard for God to do that, but He is a God of love. Because He doesn't want us to go to church if we don't feel like going. Because God knows our heart, if we are forced to worship Him, our heart will be totally different. He's looking for a true worshiper who's willing to commit themselves because they knew that Jesus loves them. He wants us to love Him. Because you know the difference when you're doing something with love, right? Husband and wife, when you're courting your wife, You'll do all you can because you love her. Hopefully, now you're getting married, you've been living together, you continually because you love her. God doesn't like us to just do because we are afraid that one day soon we'll be what? Go to hell. I was giving my Bible study in Virginia Beach. I've learned, he said, the reason why you don't go to church anymore, here's what she said. Sorry to say this, but it's what she said. Our priest told us, if we cannot do this, we'll go to hell. That's why from then on, I said, I hate God. I don't like to be in God because he will put me in hell. But he learned, she learned that God's love is not like that. He loves us so much in spite of our sinfulness. And he's willing to what? Help us. So by his grace, we are unmerited favor. But by his grace, his power to help us to be able to do what he wants us to be. Another thing, why it was delayed? Christ waits for his church. Christ waits for Bay Roberts Church. Christ is waiting for long desire for manifestation of himself in Bay Roberts Church. When the character of Christ shall perfectly reproduce in his church, in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. Brothers and sisters, he is waiting for you and for me. He knows each one of us how serious we are in our relationship with him. Another thing, why it was delayed? Christ waits for full manifestation of wickedness to be revealed in this world. And that we are watching, seeing, reading every day. The full manifestation of wickedness is always there. So what we're saying here, he is coming very soon. Brothers, the church can hasten it, but it cannot delay it definitely. You know, there was a fictitious story, illustration purpose. Satan said, let's have a council. And he called his satanic angel and said, tell them. Tell me, he said, how could we tell the world that there is no such God? One satanic angel said, well, why didn't we tell them that there is no true God? Satan said, no, there's no point, because they knew already that there is a creator God. And that Sabbath, that's the reason why we destroyed the Sabbath, because every Sabbath they will remember there is a creator and there's a created being. Disregard the Sabbath. Every believe that there's no creation. Then there's another one. Well, tell them that the Bible is not true. But Satan said, Daniel 2 tells us what God is really. From the prophecy have been fulfilled as history now. Then here comes another one, said, Mr. Master, why didn't we tell them it's okay for them to relax? After all, Jesus coming is still be too long. In other words, you could procrastinate your commitment to God. This is the danger for us, brothers and sisters, putting off enormous decision. What will happen? Well, probably I could be 100% consecrated to God by January 2019, not 2018. I have a lot of things in our mind. The spiritual and complacency and pride. We're proud to say that we belong to Remnant Church. But the question is, have you ever heard the whisper of the evil in your ears? You could relax, take your time. And what Jesus said in Revelation, they neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. What will Jesus said? I will spit you out because you're not accepted. If that's how you, yes, I love you, but you say, I'm a wishy-washy Christian. It's not acceptable inside. Is God calling you to do something that you're putting it off? Brother and sister, you know who you are. Now, the question is, the oil in your lamp running low? Meaning to say, I used to love the Bible, but seems to be what, a routine reading. Do I hear God's word? Do I have time to study his word? Do I have time to pray? Because prayer, as we all know, is what? Breathing. When you stop breathing, what will happen to you? It's too late to call 911. How about a spiritual life? That's why prayer is so important. It's an expression. And it's free. You have all cell phone, right? What's the use of cell phone? Communication. And at the end of the month, you will find bill. And you will have the number you dial is not yet on service. But with God, when we pray, He's always there. It's only a prayer away. You don't have to pay the bill. What a privilege for us, all of us, to communicate with Him. If your oil is running low, brothers and sisters, He's there waiting for us. So I want you to remember this. The only way to be ready for the second coming of Christ is what? To get ready today, and what? Stay ready tomorrow. In other words, whether we like it or not, as we step out of this building, we don't know what will happen. Right? I received a message yesterday, a distant relative of mine, after her birthday, October 7th, and he started weeping, and now they're what? Waiting for someone to bring him to the cemetery because he died already. Life is not in our hand, brothers and sisters. Good for those hospice patients. They knew that 6 months they will die. But for us, we might be in a hospice spiritual situation. We never know what will be our life is. God forbid that we'll experience death along the way as we travel. Every day I pray, Lord, I don't know my life. As I travel CBS, Bay Roberts, or St. John, wherever, as I fly to Florida tonight, I don't know if I could come back. Our life is not in our hands, so that's the best thing for us, what? To get ready today and stay ready tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, what's your decision? Will you open your hearts to Jesus right now? Remember Revelation 3:20? He said, I'm knocking at the door. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and eat with him and sup with him. I mentioned to you, a retired U.S. Air Force had told me. I read this verse in the Bible, but I can't remember. I said, well, that's in Revelation 3:20. Because he said, you know, I'm dying. He showed to me his big tummy full of water. He cannot drink a lot of water because he said, if I eat, drink a lot of water, my tummy is getting bigger and bigger. And I know I'm dying. And I'm waiting for my death. But the question to him was, will you be ready to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? You ask him for a true revival of your godliness in your souls. Brothers and sisters, I accepted the call to be here with Bay Roberts because I know God has a message for all of us. Heavenly Father, we come together. You promised to us that you will fill us with the Holy Spirit. And here we are, standing in your presence, O God. You know each one of us, dear Lord. You know who we are. You know things that may separate us from you. Please forgive us if we are not fully commit ourselves to you now. Lord, you know our weaknesses. Thank you for your saving grace that will give us power to overcome this. You know, problems in our minds, things that bothers us, why we cannot commit ourselves, our life to Jesus. But thank you this morning. You called us that if we commit ourselves totally to you, you said nothing is too hard for you, O God. You will change us according to your likeness. Be like Jesus is our prayer, O God. That the life of Jesus will seen in us. That's as we relate with our spouses, with our children, with our family, with our community. They could sense the difference because it's you who lives in us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the assurance of your promise. And we claim it. And we'd like to say, thank you that we could live up a life that is expected from you. So help us to be more closer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.